Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
On this Covenant Journey Bible Podcast, we're going to be looking for the Messiah's birth foretold in the Scriptures. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. Now, when we take groups to Israel, we typically have a person who's a good friend of mine, who's a Messianic Jewish believer in Jesus as Messiah, speak to our group. He typically asks our group questions about how do you communicate the Scriptures with regards to Jesus as the Messiah to somebody who is Jewish. Typically, what usually happens is people will run to the New Testament. And he pauses everybody and says, well, wait a minute. What if they don't read the New Testament? They don't accept the New Testament. How do you communicate from their own Scriptures that they do accept about Jesus as the Messiah? Well, certainly, you know, we have the tremendous passages in the Gospels of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have passages in those Gospels that actually quote the Scriptures as the fulfillment of those Scriptures being the birth of Jesus as the Messiah. And that certainly is a theme that continually runs through the Gospel of Matthew. For example, a person who is Jewish that you're wanting to encourage to read the New Testament, I would encourage them to begin in the Gospel of Matthew. It is a very Jewish book. For a new believer who is not Jewish, you want them to read some portion of the Scriptures, I would encourage them to read the Gospel of John. And those two Gospels have amazing revelations along with the other Synoptic Gospels and the Gospel of Luke and so forth with regards to the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of Scriptures. But let's look, for example, at some famous passages that we hear in songs or we even maybe recite during Christmas, for evidences in the Old Testament of the incarnation and the birth of the Messiah through a virgin woman. One of those passages is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, and verse 14. In this particular passage, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, that Hebrew word is from two different words, and that means God with his people, God with us. That is a passage, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that the Gospel of Matthew cites as a fulfillment of the Scripture. So here what you have in Isaiah itself, when you're talking to somebody who is Jewish as an example, or anybody else, this is a prophecy of the birth of the Messiah. This is a virgin who will conceive and bear a son, and we're going to call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now let's look over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. And this is another passage. Somebody might in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 say, well, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Doesn't mean that he is God with us. Just means that his name means God is with us. Okay. But first of all, what you have is this person is born of a virgin woman. And the name in itself says God is with us. But let's move over to Isaiah chapter 9. And in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor. So far, so good. You could say, this is a person who's going to be born, like everyone else, of a woman. He'll be a leader because the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, and he'll be called a Counselor. So far, so good. This person could be any human charismatic leader. But then it says this, his name will also be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, there's no way that you can construe that to suggest that you're going to call his name Mighty God. That's not God with us, as opposed to outside of the person, just as a symbolic name, versus God with us in the actual person in Isaiah chapter 7:14, which I think is what it really is referring to, especially when you compare it to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. This here is another iteration of the birth of this messianic Messiah that's going to come, but it's not just a messianic human leader. This is a person that we will actually call Mighty God. Now, you don't call somebody Mighty God to just symbolize God is mighty. You call them Mighty God because they are God. You don't call them Everlasting Father as though he is over and above every other father who is not everlasting. You call him because that is exactly what he is. For us is born a child. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, we look at other passages when you're trying to communicate the nativity message, the Christmas message, where Jesus becomes a human being. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That all things that were made and that continue to exist, they exist and they're held together by him, by God. And it goes on into the Gospel of John to say that this Word became a human, became flesh and dwelt among us, pitched his tent, tabernacled among us. That's hard for some a Jewish person, for example, to comprehend. It's hard for anybody to comprehend. But when there's a opposition to thinking that it's not possible for God to incarnate in the human flesh, we have Isaiah chapter 7:14, Isaiah chapter 9 as well, verse 5-6. And then we have what's called in the Old Testament theophanies. Theophanies are the appearance of God. There are several places in the scriptures about theophanies, but this one is in the book of Genesis that we're going to talk about. And in Genesis chapter 18, in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day." And we're talking about Abraham. Abraham is sitting at the door of his tent. It's hot part of the day. And it says, "The Lord appeared to him." Now, the Hebrew, and you can see this in the English translations where they do large and small caps, where it says, "The Lord appeared." That is the Hebrew word for Yahweh. That is the name of God. That is the name that was given to Moses at the burning bush. When he said, "What is your name?" Somebody's going to ask me, "Who are you?" When I go to Pharaoh, they're going to ask me your name. And the response was where we get the word Yahweh, which is a verb to be, that God is, he always has been, he is now, he always will be. And so the English versions will actually do large and small caps when it is Yahweh's name. So this is Yahweh. This is the God that is the one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. This is the creator of heaven and earth. The Lord appeared to him. So you can say, okay, well, maybe it wasn't physical. Well, let's continue to read. "He lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, three men were standing in the front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed to the earth and said, 'O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they, these others, said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three, and he gives a specific measurement, different versions translate it different ways, seahs of fine flour. Knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and he set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, again, in your English versions, verse 10, the word Lord is in caps and small caps. And if you go down to verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, same thing, it's Yahweh. Why did Sarah laugh? This is not just Lord in small writing with a capital L and lowercase ORD. This is Lord because it's in capital L, small caps ORD in the English versions. What's behind it is the Hebrew word Yahweh. If you go on to verse 17, the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? This is a conversation going on with Yahweh. Verse 20, Then the Lord said, Because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know. And it goes on, Abraham is having a communication with Yahweh, who appears in human flesh. In other words, there's other places in the scriptures where Yahweh appears in human form as well. And it's very clear from the scripture writers that it's referring to Yahweh because that's the Hebrew name it has. So when you're trying to communicate the beauty of Christmas, Gospel of John chapter 1, the book of Matthew where it talks about the fulfillment of the scriptures and the birth of the Messiah Jesus, who was born of a Virgin Mary, who ultimately was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit through no human union, who ultimately was carried by a woman who was a virgin, who was betrothed to Joseph. This is sort of like the engagement time frame where they are committed to one another, but they're not married to one another as husband and wife. They're acting as, and their vows are the same as if they were married, but they have not come together to consummate the marriage. It is at that moment that God supernaturally impregnates Mary with the birth of the Messiah, and born of a virgin whose name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is indeed the Prince of Peace. As hard as it may be to understand, particularly for somebody who has some pushback because of their Jewish upbringing, the Jewish scriptures bring the same foretelling of the birth of the Messiah, but also the Jewish scriptures include theophanies where God actually appears on occasion in human flesh. The ultimate appearance of God in human flesh, of course, is in the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we celebrate and contemplate the incredible incarnation of God into human flesh, not just as a temporary moment to communicate a message, but to live an entire life from the womb to the tomb and suffer and go through all the human daily things that we experience as human, for God to incarnate himself, to be born in the lowest of the low type of scenarios, no place in the inn, born in a manger, fleeing for his life to Egypt, and then being raised in a town that Nathanael even said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was an insignificant small town. Nothing magnificent came out of there. But God ultimately comes out of that particular scenario through the person of Jesus Christ. He goes to all the lowest of the low places. He touches the outcast that have been kicked to the side of the curb by society and by religious leaders. He lives a life as a human, fully human, yet at the same time, fully divine, because the scriptures say he didn't need anybody to tell him about human nature. He knew exactly. He created each one of us. He knows us intimately. And he takes his mission to the cross, where he then takes upon himself the sins of all the world, pays the penalty for our sin, dies as a criminal, the most ignominious kind of death possible, horribly painful. But more than that is the pain of taking the sins of the entire world and being raised again on the third day. This is the joy of Christmas. This is the joy of the incarnation. May you and your family enjoy this time of year and Christmas all year long. It doesn't have to be just one time in one month. Christmas for Christians is 365 days a year, 24/7. Christmas is every day because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.